Welcome to our continued studies on Know Your Bible. And in this session, we are going to look at the book of Joel. Now, the book of Joel is quite well known to many Christians because on the day of Pentecost, the Lord poured out the Holy Spirit upon all those who were in the upper room, and everybody was confused when they heard people speaking in their own language. And Peter got up and said, "But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel." And so the prophet Joel is quite well known to New Testament Christians. And we are going to look not just at that passage which Peter quotes to prove that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was actually prophesied some 800 years before it happened. But also we're going to look at other messages in Joel, which are very pertinent to the days in which we live. In fact, when we consider the prophets, we find, yes, they spoke of the events that were going to happen in their days and events that were going to happen in the church age. And with Joel, of course, that is fulfilled. But also they prophesy concerning situations that are going to happen in the last days, the days in which we live. So let us listen very carefully to our exegesis on the book of Joel. And there are many truths that are very pertinent for us in our personal life, but also for the understanding of what God is doing in our days. It seems as though it's a day of confusion, but not so if you read the prophets, because everything is working out for God's purposes, to bring to pass those things that he has promised and the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Joel was written possibly in the reign of Joash, king of Judah. And it was a time of, if I could say this, poverty, a time of repression. Previously, there had been the good king, Jehoshaphat, but because of his alliances with the evil king of Israel, Ahab, there had been a marriage between the son of Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, the wicked line of Israel, and her name was Athaliah. And the result was that the country had been overrun because of God's judgments upon the wicked ways of Jehoram, who was the son of Jehoshaphat. And now, after that, the country was almost in ruins. And Athaliah, the queen, took control. She became the sovereign. And then after that, she was slain, and this boy king, Joash, comes to the throne. So it's a time of poverty. It's a time of judgment. And so that's how, in actuality, the book of Joel starts. So he starts off by saying, "Look, you're awake, all you drunkards, all you that have gone into pleasure and so forth, and consider the state of the country. Look at it. It's bare. The palmer worm, the canker worm, the locusts have been able to ravage the country too, apart from other nations coming, like the Arabians, the Philistines, and the Edomites. They came, ravaged the country as part of God's judgment." He said, "Now look." He said, "You have got to realize what is happening. that it's my judgments that have come upon the nation because of your sinfulness. And therefore, that's how Joel opens up. You know, it's lamentable, but what is happening in the world today? You know, nation after nation is being ravaged. And in the United States, things are far from good. Look at these terrible catastrophes we have been having, and it's impoverishing the nation. Now then, there's still more to come, of course, because God judges the righteous nations who have gone astray. And this was a case, you see, with Judah. They were a righteous nation, if I could say that. But they had gone astray. And so God is correcting them and bringing them back online. And that is the purpose, you see, why we're having the judgments in many of the righteous countries today. Because we've gone astray. We've gone astray. Now, if we can have that fundamental truth written upon our hearts and have understanding of the ways of God, then it's easy to interpret the prophets and to see where they're going. See, first of all, they sort of have an impact. They say, now look, can't you see the situation? Wake up, realize what God is doing, you see. And then after saying that, they say, well, the next thing to do is to repent. And the repentance starts with the ministers of God, starts with the pastors, starts with those who are ordained by God to the ministry. And here it speaks of the priests. They are to lie all night before the altar of God. They are to cry out to God, oh God, have mercy. And this ravaging by the armies of foreign nations, oh God, turn them back. And here's another truth that we need to apprehend, you know, when we study the Word of God and understand, if I could say this, life and understand what is happening today. God is on both sides. You know, here in the time of Joel, it was the Assyrians that God was using to come down, you see, and punish the northern tribes of Israel. But the point that I want to bring out is this. You know, the Assyrians were called the rod of God's anger. In other words, it was God who was bringing down this northern army to ravage his own nation, to bring them back to him. And so, you see, these priests were exhorted to cry out to God, oh God, turn these nations back, these nations that are ravaging us, turn them back, Lord. See, but the price that they had to pay for that was to repent and turn back to God, turn back to God. That was the price they had to pay. Not just to cry out to God, but to change their ways. And then God gives this wonderful promise, all right, then I will turn back those armies. And so he says, look, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, look, he said, sound the trumpet in Zion. You know, raise up your voices, alert the people, and say, you know, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. That he will turn back these other nations. That he will transform, if I could say this, you know, the agricultural situation. The rain will come. He will turn away the locusts and all those creatures that he's brought into the land to take away the crops. We have to see that God is in control. He is with the enemy as he is with us. And he's using the enemy to bring us back to himself. And that essentially was the opening message of the book of Joel. And in order that
this would happen, well, they had to change. They had to change. They had to change their lifestyle. And we have to change our lifestyle. And, you know, in the church, the world has come into the church. It's difficult to tell between the theater and the church in some places. Well, God is calling us to repent, and God is calling us to change our ways and to cry out to him, "Oh Lord, deliver us from all these terrorists and so forth." But it's only going to happen when we come to our senses, we awake, as he says, and we start to seek the Lord. Now, if we will do that, then we are going to enjoy, if I could say this, the promises that God makes in Joel. He said, look, if you will do that, you see, if you will do that, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. You know, we look at all the nations of the world, and a very interesting factor. You know, when the Lord comes, he will not only judge individually, but he will judge nations. And he calls the nations, the sheep nations and the goat nations, you see. And the sheep nations are those that have followed his ways. The goat nations are those that oppose him, you see. The sheep nations are those for peace. Goat nations are those for war. And the sheep nations essentially acknowledge righteousness, whereas the goat nations are for violence, cruelty, thievery, and the like. Well, now, Judah, of course, was a sheep nation. It was God's nation. Israel is God's nation. But also, many of the nations of this world are sheep nations. And they're being ravaged at the moment by the enemy because they are not walking upright. But you see, God gives his promise. Look, he said, you know, if you will seek me, turn from your wicked ways, then I will have pity upon my people, pity upon the righteous. And he goes on to make some very interesting promises. And I want to look at these promises with you. You see, we've opened up this book by saying the land of Judah has been ravaged. But if the people will turn back, God says, well, look, I will send all these locusts, these palmer worms, these nations that ravaged you, I will send them away. And then he said, then I will pour out my spirit. And I want to look with you, you see, in verse 23. He said, well, then you're to be glad, children of Zion, and to rejoice in the Lord your God. And he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the latter rain and the former rain in the first month. Now, he's looking now at the thought of a spiritual revival. And that is really what we want in the world today. We want a revival. We want God to pour out his spirit so that all might see the truth. Pour out his spirit in signs and wonders. But also, you know, if you look at the margin of your Bibles, and I hope you've got your Bibles when you're listening to me, it says in the margin, teachers of righteousness. And this is what God has promised in these last days, that he will raise up in the church teachers of righteousness who will not only teach the church the ways of God and the law of God and bring forth the true word that God wants to deliver to his people, but also others, those outside the church, will hear the word of God, will understand the ways of God, will see the light of God and say, well, look, this is what we should do. And they will come to the church. They will flock to the church by virtue of the fact that God pouring out his Spirit in these last days upon the church. You know, those in darkness, you know, those who are fearful, you know, will see the peace that the church has. They will see the joy that the church has, and they will come. Well, now then, he said, I will restore unto you. I will restore unto you. You know, all those things that you've lost, I will restore. Now, he's speaking here naturally. He's speaking here spiritually. And, you know, the church prospers naturally. The church prospers spiritually when they are walking in obedience to God. And so that is God's promise. Look, I'll turn everything. I'll turn everything in your life around. I'll bless you naturally and spiritually. And this is what God is offering to the church and will happen in the church in these last days. Now then, he then delineates the spiritual blessings. And he said in, well, verse 28 of this chapter, chapter 2, he said, and I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and the handmaids, I will pour out my Spirit. And that essentially happened on the day of Pentecost. But you see, it speaks earlier on about the former rain and the latter rain. And these essentially are, if I could say this, speaking of the outpouring of the Spirit of God in the early church and the promise throughout the Word of God that in the last days he will pour out his Spirit in a way that far supersedes anything that he did in the early church, so that in the last days those that dwell in darkness shall see a great light, and they shall see the glory of God coming upon the church, and in signs and wonders, and also a mighty outpouring of the teachers of righteousness will give understanding to the world of the ways of God before Jesus comes. Because Jesus coming for a church without spot nor wrinkle, and God is going to pour out his Spirit upon the church, that the church indeed shall be a glorious church in these last days, ready to meet the Lord when he comes in the air. But here we have it, the promise that he will pour out his Spirit in these last days. Now he goes on to speak of things that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in Matthew 24, when he was asked, you know, what will be the signs of thy coming? And one of the signs he mentioned was the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light before the day of the Lord. And he continues by then promising in verse 32 that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we will see multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And when they see the light and glory of God upon the church, they will cry out to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, save me, Lord. And crying on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. But that applies now. Have you called upon the Lord? Have you asked the Lord to save you? Have you asked him to forgive you your sins? Have you asked him to come into your life and pardon you? And to experience this glorious new birth, being born again. Well, that is the spiritual message. That is what is going to happen in these last days. And the church, you know, we have the privilege of going throughout the world and everywhere. There's a great expectancy in the church. God is going to move again, you see. But we've got to call out, and the all-important thing is this, that we be a part of the revival that is coming. But now I want to turn to the last chapter in the book of Joel, because now he moves from the spiritual to, if I could say this, the political situation just before the Lord comes. And we're seeing it being formulated before our very eyes. And so let us look at Joel chapter 3 so that we might have understanding of the political events that are taking place now. And what is it? In chapter 3 and verse 1, "For behold, in those days and at that time will I bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." Well, this is repeated in Isaiah 11 and verse 11 when he says, "I will bring again for the second time the captivity." In other words, I will bring Israel back into her land again. And that happened in 1947, 1948, when Israel became a nation and God brought his people from all over the world back to the land of Israel. And then he said, "I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them." Now, what is God saying? Look, he says this. He said, "I'm going to bring Israel back into her land." And so in 1948, after some more than 1,800 years, Israel had not been in her own land. Now she has a land again. And God says, "Now this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring all nations into the Valley of Jehoshaphat." Where is the Valley of Jehoshaphat? Well, if you look at my hands, you will see here I'm raising my right hand. Here is Jerusalem. On the other side, the left hand, I'm looking at the Mount of Olives. And between the two, there's a valley called the Valley of Kidron and the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And God said, "I'm going to bring all nations down there on the mountains around Jerusalem, and I'm going to plead with them for my people." And that is what is happening, you see, that Israel's giving up her land, and, you know, the Arab nations, the Palestinians are you know, surrounding, if I could say this, Jerusalem. But it's all prophesied. It's God who's doing this. And then, you know, he then declares in verse 9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up and beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the heathen be awakened and come up into the valley of Jehoshaphat." God says, in the last days, it's not a time of peace. It's a time of war. And we see the warlike countries around Israel being awakened. By whom? By God. God is in control. He's awakening them. He's bringing them down into that valley of Jehoshaphat. We shall see that in the last days. And then, what happens? You know, when it seems as though Israel's going to collapse, Jerusalem is going to fall, and it looks as though those armies of those heathen nations around Israel are going to get their desire, and they're going to overthrow Israel, just at that very moment, we will find that the Lord will come. And his feet will stand on that day on the Mount of Olives. And the defenders of Zion will cry out, "Oh, we have waited for thee." And he will cry out to them, "I am the one that liveth and alive forevermore. And they will realize that Christ, Jesus Christ the Lord, is their long-awaited Messiah. And he will come, and he will roar out of Zion. And as you look at all these verses here, you will find that the Lord will defeat and cause the Israelites to defeat all their enemies that are surrounding them, and Christ will rule and reign as King of Kings in Jerusalem. And all those nations that he has stirred up to come against Israel, and particularly Jerusalem, in these last days, will be overthrown, and they will be turned back. And it lists them there, the Palestinians, Lebanese, Syrians, and so forth, the Arabians. They'll all be turned back. They'll all be turned back. And Christ will be victorious. Christ will be victorious. So I want to encourage you. The book of Joel is very wonderful. It speaks of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days, the church to be glorious. But also, at the end, even though all the armies come against Israel, they will not overthrow Israel, for Christ will come, and he, the victorious King of Kings, will slay his enemies, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. So be encouraged, and read the Word of God, and understand the Word of God, and you'll have such peace in your heart in these days. May you indeed enjoy the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give. God bless you.